Hare Krishna. Question: why does the Gita teach an eye for an eye when that policy will leave us all blind? Answer: first of all, the Gita's teaching is not an eye for an eye. The Gita's teaching is that we should act out of spiritual love and do whatever is the best for the expression of our own spiritual love and for the development of other spiritual love. That's of course a very different subject. Krishna told Arjuna to fight not just because he should revenge what Duryodhana was doing, but because Duryodhana was disrupting society, disrupting dharma, and taking all of society towards adharma. The adharma means the path of disorder and the path of distress and disaster. So now, I will not go into the full teaching of the Gita here, but let's focus on this point of, does an eye for an eye make everyone blind? Yes, there is a very respected Indian spiritual teacher who adapted this biblical saying, an eye for an eye. Don't use an eye for an eye. This traditional saying was there, an eye for an eye or a tooth for a tooth. And it's been quoted by this, by many sources, that it means you tit for tat. If somebody harms you, you harm that person back again. And some people say that if we adopt this policy, then everyone will be blind and everyone will be toothless. So yes, there is, for such sayings, there's a time and a place. And there is also a time and place where this will not apply. For example, yes, when two people are having some fight on the street and both of them fight each other and they both break each other's tooth, then both of them will become toothless. That's true. But if there is a larger interest involved, in the sense that there are two states, so if there are two states and each state is trying to conquer the other state's territory, then if one state keeps attacking and other state stays silent, then that first state will just become more and more threatening and more and more threatening. But rather, you know, if the first state hits and the other state hits back as hard as you do, and again there is hit, again there is hitting back hard, then by this, essentially what happens is that both states become cautious. That means this leads to deterrence. Deterrence means, oh, if I attack, I'll be counterattacked. And therefore, I need to think twice before I attack, because otherwise I may want to hurt, but I'll also get hurt. So, actually speaking, if there is no hitting back when one is hit, then the hitter will exploit and destroy and dominate and enslave, and there'll be complete misery for the person who is being submissive. So, for example, when Hitler was on a rampage and he was tormenting the Jews, and now here this Indian leader who said that, what should you do? Don't fight Hitler. Just submit to his good side. Offer yourself to him. And speak and act in such a way that he will bring out the nobility with him. And then he will not hurt you. But there are some people who are so despotic that they see, when somebody surrenders to them, they don't see that as a opportunity for expressing compassion, but rather they see that as an opportunity for expressing domination. And they would come, if they see surrender as weakness, and then they destroy. So the point is that when we say an eye for an eye, it means that if there are small petty trifles, and if we start thinking of avenging every single trifle, then there will be continuous animosity and there will be degradation in the relationship for both people. But when there is anyway, that when one of the parties is anyway hostile and is exploitative, and there is a point of, there is going to be a relationship which is going to be at the same level hostile. So for example, say, now if there is a husband and wife living together, or two brothers or two sisters are living together in a family. Now in that, if we have an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, now that is going to create constant animosity. There, better overlook the small faults and know that we have to live together. But say if we have a situation of India and Pakistan. Now if Pakistan keeps provoking, and India keeps passively just tolerating, enduring, and not doing anything, then Pakistan will become more and more brazen. And then that threat of terrorism for India will become more and more. Terrorism, insurgency, violence. So when India hits back, then Pakistan understands, oh, we have to be careful. Otherwise, we'll be hit. We can't just hit India and get away with it. We'll be hit back. So I'm not here recommending war against Pakistan or anything like that. I'm simply pointing out that if there is a real, in the real polity that characterizes this world, then a simplistic forgiving attitude will simply lead to self-destruction. So what the Bhagavad Gita's teaching is that there can be individual morality and that has to be separated from social or state morality. So for example, when Krishna talks about the Brahmanas, he talks about the qualities of people in different Varna. And when he's talking about the Brahmanas, there he says, Kshama, forgiveness as a characteristic of the Brahmanas. But then, when he's talking about Kshatriyas, then he doesn't say forgiveness. He said, Yudhe chapya palayanam, being fearless in war, fighting fiercely. That is the characteristic of the Kshatriyas. So why is this difference? Because a Brahmana at an individual level can be forgiving. But if a king at a state level is forgiving when there are transgressions, then that leads to the transgressor exploiting, dominating, destroying. And this misconceived sense of charitability, of forgiveness, forgiveness cannot be used when the opponent is hostile and is bound to exploit and dominate. So many Indian kings who were indiscriminately forgiving, they thought that we are being very dharmic, but they did not understand the subtleties of dharma. They did not understand that a Kshatriya's dharma and a Brahmana's dharma has to be very different. And often there were invaders, especially Muslim invaders, who used this forgiveness and they came and repeatedly attacked. Each time they were forgiven, they went and repeatedly attacked. And eventually when they conquered, then they did not forgive. They just slaughtered. So the point here is that certainly Bhagavad Gita doesn't call for violence, doesn't encourage wanton violence, doesn't in any way support the kind of violence which is done by some religious terrorists. You know, the Bhagavad Gita is very clear about morality and about codes of war. So the point is that the defenseless people as are killed by terrorists, that is completely against every principle of dharma. So that kind of violence, today whenever any religious book is thought of as talking about violence, then immediately people think about, oh, there is religious terrorism. Is this book also talking about religious terrorism? But the Bhagavad Gita is not talking about that kind of thing at all. Certainly not attack against the defenseless, against the innocent, against the unsuspecting, no. The war that it talks about is with people who are armed on the war field and are prepared to fight, equipped and trained to fight. So even within that, the Bhagavad Gita says that if a Brahmana who is not having any state position, that Brahmana can be forgiving at an individual level. But what may be fine for a person at an individual level, it can be disastrous at a state level. Because at the state level, there are actions which will affect the whole state. So if a king forgives an aggressor and that aggressor attacks and destroys the king, and then that will lay pillage in the whole kingdom. So there has to be, the real world is such that a king needs to use force, sometimes to punish criminals within and sometimes to attack, to counter-attack invaders from without. And that is the real world. So an eye for an eye, yes, when it is used in petty, small conflicts where people are actually living together in a family or in that sort of close setting, then it is petty and vindictive and it leads to escalation of hostilities. But when anyway there is hostility, when anyway there is the intent of aggression, then at that time there is the possibility, the strategy of counter-hitting helps in creating deterrence. It acts as deterrent and it prevents the escalation of hostility an escalation of violence in that situation. So what is the dharma of a brahmana is different from the dharma of a kshatriya. And forgiveness is a dharma of a brahmana. But then fearlessness in terms of not fleeing from a fight and being willing to fight when necessary for the sake of protection, that is the characteristic of a kshatriya. So to summarize, the Bhagavata does not recommend indiscriminate violence, nor does the Bhagavata recommend a revengeful attitude, which is what is talked about in an eye for an eye or a tooth for a tooth. Rather, the Bhagavata talks about doing whatever it takes to establish dharma and to keep those who are opponents of dharma out of power. Thank you. Hare Krishna.